a revelation. I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality, something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that have touched the cause.
This message by God's servant Apostle Dudich will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' mighty name. Exodus chapter 30. Let's start from verse 22. If you are there, say amen. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee. What? I said you people should be there, Jesus. If you follow me well, you will benefit more. I'm teaching, but it's just an attempt, because I believe everything is in the word of God. Just an attempt to open up a possibility. However you people are open will be the much God will open for you. We have come to the business end of the labors. It's not as if we are closing. But you know the way God does it. He opens you to a level. You function there. If you maximize it, he opens you to another one. If you don't maximize a particular level, another one will not open. You maximize a level, he opens up another level. You maximize that level, he opens up to another level. Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels. So in the context of myrrh, you need 500. Then when you come to cinnamon, is half the quantity of myrrh. So you don't need as much cinnamon as you need of myrrh. He said, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekel. So you can see in this combination now that the most important thing is myrrh, death. So, but I'm not here to, my job here is not to give you the meaning of the symbolism, just to present matters to you. Hello, if you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. He said, of take thou also unto thee, not all kinds of spices. What kind of spices? Principal spices. Principal spices. And he gave us, he said, 500 shekels for the man, 250 for cinnamon, and 250 for what? Sweet calamus. Say after me, sweet calamus. Next verse. And of cassia, 500 what? Shekels. After the shekel of what? Pay attention to everything the scripture is saying here. It's not your own measurement. He said the shekels of what? The sanctuary. It means that there is a converting factor that you need to put in consideration. That converting factor is not found within the human or natural realm. So if God tells you that what we need to add to produce this is maybe prayer, the converting factor is not physical. Now, you are praying in the physical realm, so we cannot remove that. So if you needed to pray, maybe God tells you that we need 250 shekels of prayer incense. And probably somebody come and meet you, or you hear somebody like me teach, or you hear anybody teach, he will now tell you that if you ask him that this thing in conversion, he is giving you counsel. Because sometimes, maybe by your own self, you might not be able to judge exactly what this weight means, because these are spiritual language. Hello? Hello? So the person tells you, okay, what you need to do is to pray 1 hour in the night for 21 days. And this person prayed 1 hour in the night, 21 days. This person prayed, this person prayed, this person prayed, this person prayed, this person prayed. And after that 21 days, only two people came out with what God promised for that thing. What does he suggest to you? I mean, new people did the same thing. It suggests to you that there must have been a different matrix of measurement that is not natural, that is used. That after you have done your 21 days, God will weigh it. You are not with me yet. After 50 days, what will God do? He will weigh it. And when he weighs it, your own. Why is heaven is demanding 250 shekels? And we did the same thing physically. They weighed one person's own. By the time he's getting to 25 days of that 50, he's already accumulated 1,000. Meanwhile, you are 49 days and they are checking your own. They are trying to give you waiver. You know, those days we attended university, there is what is called, you fail. There is what they call university attended. They just want to pass you. If only you can get 40 out of 250. If only you can. They just pass you so that they will just, the waiver, mercy waiver is not qualification. Mercy waiver. Like, don't mind me, you know, me. We are rugged people. We are just trying to. You know. But worst come to worst, we trail with you. Will see it. If this meeting progress a little, you will not remember what I'm wearing. The only thing you will remember is glory garment. You will not even remember how I looked. The only thing you will remember is what happened to you. Brothers and sisters, God called us. So if God did not call us, we can't stand here and talk the way we talk. If you say half of the things we say, and that's why I need to introduce something to you. If you say 1/10, have you not listened to me sometime, Dennis, and you want to say the things I'm saying, say it and fall sick. You can't say it, or there is something. If I didn't tell you this thing, I misled you. If I didn't tell you about the anointing, I didn't tell you all the story. Every man needs to be anointed. The more anointing you have, the more you can do for God. Forget it. Even if the person is telling you, that my own is just to get souls won. What gets souls won? Which effort of man can get one soul born again? I know, I don't know about others. I knew by myself. When I preached and preached in the hostels in UNN and nobody got born again, I was begging them with tears. They didn't change their mind. They told me, Kai, what you are saying is good or is correct. He told me later. They will repent later. I went and cried. I prayed for long, fasted for long one day. Thank God for materials. That's why some of these things you are saying need to be on record. So you don't know who will stumble on it in the next 50 or 100 years. And that will be the making of another general. I stumbled on a material. And somebody said in that material, give me unction or I die. He started explaining what is unction. He said it's something that somebody is on somebody's head. When he speaks, people can't resist him. I said, I now know what is my problem. I went back. I did not use unction because there is someone before me that refused to be born again. I said, Lord, give me this soul or I die. There is nothing. Why am I alive? I'm already on the path to be a very good man of God. People are already saying they're already giving me opportunity to preach. And that's the problem. Having opportunities to preach and minister. Manad Honisi. You know why? Aside the fact that you are ill-equipped, you are painting the wrong picture of a man of God. You are not yet one until something rests on your head. Leave it. You will most likely misrepresent God. You don't know a man of God is a special person. Not just before God, before men. When you appear,
people take you as what God will want. That is why it's not just because, yes, there is, that's why the character fault line is an issue. There is also if you don't have oil, people will believe that this is the best God can offer to Nigeria. I will die believing that there is more. Even if I don't see the more, I will leave a heritage for my generations. My brother, we need to fight for something. Fight for it. One message under the unction is better than 30 without the unction. When I came back from fasting one time, I came back from church service in UNN that time. So I came back. The thing was still moving me. So I was praying. I was disturbed. So I don't know what happened. Went to visit one guy at a Ninjoku 400 series. Thing is, one of the members of the church. I just went there to see. And then they started discussing something about the Bible. I opened one. Everybody was there. They laughed initially. They mocked. But they didn't leave. Before you know, it's 5 minutes, enter 10 minutes. They stayed. They didn't go. It became 15. It's not just that people didn't leave. The roommates that came in opened their Bible. I said, now me, I was doubting myself. But I didn't stop. And they were there. Before you know it, they opened the door. Some of you that have been to UNA, you know how hostels are. They opened the door. And people look from inside. Before you know it, the room got filled. Before you know it, I spoke. Some people were praying. They were, and they gave their life to Christ. I got them filled with the Holy Ghost. As I was leaving there, I said, I now know what is working. I am the problem. God is not the problem. I told God, forgive me. I repent. Put your hands on your head. Say, I'm not living these 50 days without an anointing. Pray it. Pray it as a prayer. Pray it for 1 minute. You will stagger here and leave and go back to Ghana and say that you came to nail it apostolate and then you went back with nothing. Cry for something on your life. If you don't anoint us, we will not go further. How can God give a man an assignment without the anointing for that? It's equal to suicide mission.
Jehovah Tai Manu. Wosama Manu. Hebube Wosama Manu. Hebube Wosama Manu. Hebube Wosama Manu. Oh!
I see the nations crying.
Woe to a man that enters the nations without the anointing for the nations.
In Jesus' name, listen.
I can keep talking about the anointing and talk about the anointing for 7 days non-stop. Because that's part of what God, that's my calling. Do you know a door can open to you without the anointing for that door? You enter there and you don't know what to do there. It's a big problem.
Everybody was some man.
I see the angel of the Lord standing.
with pipes and jars of oil. Who are the owners of this oil? In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, Jesus. In Jesus' name, listen. The problem with people is that I understand the bastard and the rough things. People don't know actually what it means to say the word anointed. I think I need to explain it a little. Because when you say anointing, people think it's gifts. The gifts is nothing even close to the anointing. Gifts are just channels through which an anointed man expresses what he carries on the inside. Do you know that a man can be anointed with the glory of God? The glory of God is an anointing. When he comes, he doesn't leave that man. He stays with him permanently. Is that one gift? In Jesus' name, listen. Let me show you something little from the scripture. And of cassia, 500 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil of olive and hin. This is what makes it viscous. The viscosity. The olive oil, the oil is not the anointing only. Are you getting what I'm saying? Is what contains it. Is the universal solvent. Is the universal solvent that carries a complex work of apothecary. There are specific ingredients that is added into it. I hope you know that two people can lay hands on somebody. Two people can fall under the power. One, nothing much happened. The other person had an encounter. Meanwhile, the two of them fell. That means there is a complex work that is hidden inside that anointing that left and hit a man and shifted him. A man is in a service. The anointing hit him. He left, went to heaven, had an encounter. Received blueprint for his life and calling. What kind of anointing has the energy to shift men from layer 1 to layer 100 and they see angels face to face? When they are coming back, they become a different kind of man. Watch. Listen. Verse 25. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment. An ointment compound after the art of what? It's like somebody, it's not an easy thing to cook an anointing. To cook an anointing is like to cook a drug. Who is a pharmacist here? Who's a pharmacist? Who's a pharmacist? To produce one drug, there is a lot of work that is involved. That's what the scripture is saying. Apothecary is the old word for a for pharmacy. Let me see the next verse. And thou shalt anoint where? The tabernacle. That I want to show you something, and it's part of my point. There is nothing that come into God's that can ever, nothing and no one can come into God's service without an anointing. It's not possible. You are ordinary without an anointing. That is how heaven considers it. It's not first about the empowerment. It is about the choice of heaven. How heaven establishes their choice by the anointing. So we can have two lectern here. Heaven will look and say, okay, we choose this one or this one. How does heaven establish their choice? By putting the anointing. Once the anointing comes on one, even if two of you came from the same mother's womb, the other person has become God's property. Hello, are you with me? Yes, I want to make two distinctions. Are you with me? Reduce a little. There is a sense in which the anointing of God, the anointing, is a free gift. Are you getting the point? There is a sense in which the anointing is a free gift. In any sense, the anointing is a gift in the sense that there is nothing you can do actually to deserve it. But there are gifts that are free and there are gifts that are deserved. If somebody comes to my wedding and then comes Obomego, like his praise money, does some things, give me some things. If he's going and I have some, doesn't that person deserve a souvenir as he's going? Part of the reason we give that souvenir is to tell somebody that has done something, thank you. Is it not true? Yeah, but we call it gift. Is it not gift we call it? But it's not free per se. There is a price tag to it. There is a sense in which the anointing of the Holy Spirit is a gift, free gift, especially in the new covenant context. And I'm going to give a few definitions and you will find that context. Because of the indwelling nature of the Holy Spirit within us, there is something that is naturally inherent. It is not as if we are trying to get the Holy Spirit to do something. His presence, him trying to express himself, causes some possibilities through us. And every time that we align to those movements of the Holy Spirit in us, there is a flow of the anointing. In that sense, there is nothing that you can do to deserve it. It is the Holy Spirit trying to express himself, and you are the only available vessel that time. You are the only. Are you following me? Yes, Jesus Christ. But there is a sense in which the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I don't even, because of definition, because of the fourth lines of definition, I don't even want to just call it the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because if you study the scripture very well, go through the doctrines of the scripture, you will find out that there are even instances where the Holy Spirit can become the anointing. The scripture said in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the what? And power. So in this context now, the Holy Spirit
So there is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and then there is a point where the Holy Spirit is the anointing. In fact, this context in which the Holy Spirit is the anointing is only something that is possible within the context of the new covenant. And this anointing now that the Holy Spirit is the anointing that God anointed our recreated human spirit by his spirit. I will make an attempt to show you in the book of 1 John chapter 2 verse 27. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
But if a man desires that he will be the instrument through which God will ever do anything, have you wanted God to do anything through you? You need an anointing, and there is a price tag to it. If you didn't pay for it, somebody paid for it. Amen?
Amen.
Let me give three possible definitions of the anointing. Number one, the anointing can be defined as the divine enablement and ability to execute an assignment. I think this is the most popular definition of the anointing. And my teachings and exhortation this evening will most likely revolve around this. Let me say it again. The anointing can be defined as the divine enablement and ability to execute an assignment, of course, on behalf of God. My scripture reference is Acts chapter 10 from verse 37 to 39. Can we just show me. Acts chapter 10 verse 37. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Next verse. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now, this anointing enabled him to go about what? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Folklore said that Jesus did some miracles before this happened, but the scripture never said it. In fact, the scripture was so precise and specific that it said in the book of John chapter 2 that the beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Cana and Galilee. I don't know why they needed to add the beginning, because by adding that beginning, it made every other story that there be. They said some Muslims said they threw brought something and made it, but lie Bible, I believe. The beginning. Because there has to be. If not, we will not have a pattern to follow. Jesus did not just come as our Savior. I keep saying it. He came to show us how he works, so that if we try the same thing, it should work. So he said, the beginning, he was anointed. Though he was God, but he divested himself of deity and functioned as an utmost and apex ultimate human being would have functioned. And to do that, he needed to be anointed as man now. And he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. Hello? And he began to do miracles. The things that he couldn't, human beings can't do. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. This shows us immediately that there is a point when a man is not anointed. And there is a point that he is what? Anointed. Leave it. That's an open and close of the matter. If you are anointed, the way to know is that certain things will now become what? Possible. If you are not, certain things cannot be possible to you. Jesus was anointed and he started doing this. Anytime a man is anointed, it's an ability, it's an enablement to execute an assignment. And as I told you, God cannot send you to do anything without anointing you for that. In fact, to send you to do something without anointing, if Satan catch you, hello, let me even warn you, in case you don't know. If you do anything without the anointing for that, you are opening yourself for battles that you cannot defend. When a man is anointed for something, it's not as if warfare can come, but he's completely defended by the same anointing. The anointing in this context doesn't just enable the man, it defends the man. Are you getting it? And I need to show you, because in this context, okay, the second definition of the anointing. The anointing can be defined, second, the anointing can be defined as the conferred and coronated authority and license to operate or administrate. The anointing is not just an enablement. According, if, in fact, in the Old Testament context, in the Old Testament context, enablement is a secondary purpose of the anointing. It's a secondary definition of the anointing. When the anointing comes upon a man in the Old Testament context, it is an authority and a license. Show me that book of, is it Numbers? The first scripture we read. Exodus 30. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony. Next verse. And the table and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar. Hey, easy now. And the altar of incense. Next verse. And the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. Next verse. And thou shalt sanctify them that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be what? Holy. This is a very serious thing. The anointing separates a man onto a higher level of holiness. I don't even want to go there. That means we have not properly defined what is anointing. It is not something, this kind is not something you can touch in an unholy way. Probably gifts that we interpreted, the channels through which this thing flowed, that's what we interpreted. But before God, the anointing is a most holy thing. So much so that God said it should not fall on the flesh. Next verse. And thou shalt anoint, this is where I'm going. And thou shalt what? Let's read verse 30 together. Exodus 30, 30. 1, 2, ready, go. So this is not an enablement. This is a conferment. God told Moses, say, if you anoint this man, you are conferring him with the authority to operate the priestly office. Are you getting what I'm saying now? That is actually God's basic meaning of what the anointing means. That is the fundamental heavenly meaning of the anointing. The word Christ, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I have to teach this because we are missing a few things and we are living you see, the things about the word of God is that the things you open up and emphasize on is the things that you begin to see more. The critical aspect of the person, what Jesus means to us is actually his office. And that office is captured in the Christ. And the definition of the word Christ is the anointed one and his anointing. Have you heard of Christ before? Christ. That means that office that was sat upon, that administration is actually an administration of anointing. When we say that we have fivefold, we mean fivefold anointing. That's another way to interpret what that office means. It is the fivefold manifestation of the official anointing of the Christ. It's the anointing, the anointed one, and his what? That's what it means. Are you getting the point now? It is in that context that you now realize that is an official anointing. It is an anointing that takes you and puts you in an office, confers to you by that anointing the authority and license to operate. So when such a man appears and says he is a pastor, he is not a pastor because of human ordination service. No, he is a pastor because of what? Anointing. And that thing he occupies has a license such that in the administration of that office, if there is a contention by man or Satan, God will come and defend what he put
on you. And Cooper, hey, and Zata. That's what that's how Moses operated. He will come and say, Lord, I'm not the one. These people say you did not anoint me. The vengeance with which God defends his anointed is strange. You know why? His integrity and name is at stake. To reject God's anointed is to reject God himself. That's how he sees it. In the Old Testament, that's why we in the New Testament, because of the new covenant, there is a lot of things that has been adjusted. And the total meaning of spiritual things is almost lost. So, what we now call the anointing is something very fickle and weak. Because of it, men don't pay price for the anointing because they can't, they don't even know what it is. The scripture made us to understand that the oil that flows from the office of Samuel has the ability to keep the integrity of a territory. So, what kept the territory was the anointing. What kind of anointing is that? That's what you should be contending for. As long as his days are, nothing can happen in Israel. As long as he's there by his anointing. So the anointing is a license. It's an authority to operate. It's a license. In God's original context, when the office of the Christ was activated, the Holy Spirit is the proof that, are you getting what I'm saying? What Peter was saying in the book of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, he said, no more shall surely that now, that Jesus is now both the Lord and what? The Lord and the anointed one and his anointing. I am here as a proof of that. He said, I am here as a proof of the fact that they have carried everything and given to this man. When you see an anointed man, he is a proof that God has invested his authority again. There are things that happen because of an anointed man without his conscious knowledge. Because of what he carries, his office activates several possibilities. He's like a man sitting in an administrative office. He doesn't need to check whether the gate man opened the gate.
And I am anointed with fresh oil. My head you have exalted like the horn of the unicorn. And I am.
Sometimes, if God wants to end your battle, all he does is to anoint you higher.
My head. You have exalted like the horn of the unicorn, and I am anointed with fresh oil. My head you have exalted like the horn of the unicorn, and I am anointed. Fresh oil. My head you have exalted like the horn of the unicorn, and I am anointed with fresh oil. My head you have exalted like the horn of the unicorn, and I am anointed with fresh oil. My head you have exalted like the horn of the unicorn, and I am anointed.
Something is happening now. They are organizing a service for you.
They are organizing an anointing service. Anointing services are organized in heaven. Patalios fekakupalata.
My head you have exalted like the horn of the unicorn, and I am anointed with fresh oil. My head you have exalted like the horn of the unicorn, and I am anointed with fresh oil. My head you have exalted like the horn of the unicorn, and I am anointed with fresh oil. My head you have exalted like the horn of the unicorn, and I am anointed
with fresh oil.
My head you have exalted like the horn of the unicorn, and I am anointed
with fresh oil.
In Jesus. 1 John chapter 2 verse 27. Listen to me.
Yeah, na na na. Yeah, na na na. Yeah, yeah. 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 Na 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 na. Yeah. Na 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 na. Yeah. 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 Here, 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 here.
I see verses filled.
Here, 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 here.
In Jesus' mighty name, you can be seated.
can be seated. 1 John chapter 2 verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received, watch. He said, but the anointing which ye have received, received of him, abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointed teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it has taught you, ye shall abide where? In him. In this context, the anointing is a person. It abides in you, never to leave. The person of the Holy Ghost. All he needs to do is to move like this. And by that his movement, you learn something about God. That thing you learned is a ministration of truth. Because the spirit is what? Truth. It is in that sense that men become like God. You have heard that you need as many as are led by the Holy Ghost, they are the sons of. That's how it is, by the anointing. It is that anointing that keeps you afloat over sin. Listen, this anointing now is within as a person expressing himself. The more liberty it is given, the more liberty he is given, the more you are saturated with God likeness. The more you are saturated with God personality, the more you become like God. Because even you cannot get the Christian character to be formed in a man by self-discipline. It is an operation of the spirit within. It is the anointing. And that oil, you can be full, it can be low too. Listen to me. Because of time, I want to show you six things about the anointing and then I close. Number one, the anointing is the means by which heaven announces a messenger. The anointing is the means through which heaven announces a messenger. Before Moses left, show me Luke chapter 4 verse 14. Before Moses left, he said, a prophet like unto me will the Lord raise for you people. A prophet like unto me. So we started waiting. The whole children of Israel were thrown into a season of waiting. The name of that prophet, the prophetic name, the assignment, the name that captures his assignment is the Messiah. The Messiah. Everyone that expected the Messiah expected him by signs, expected him by a kind of anointing. That is why when Jesus died and resurrected in the book of Luke chapter 23, the scripture said that some people were on the way to Emmaus and they were with him, discussing with him, telling him about himself. One thing they said that was striking is that they said that they thought that Jesus was the one that should have saved Israel. That means contained within the messianic anointing is the ability to deliver. So when men waited for that deliverance, even though it is in the natural, they didn't see, they assumed that the Messiah has not come. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the only way for heaven, the only way heaven can bring out their messenger is by the anointing. Even the Christ came by the anointing. Who are you? What are you trying to do? You will just kill yourself. You will just die. Like, you will just, you know, there is nothing as frustrating as coming and saying, I'm a prophet, you can't prophesy. There is nothing as terrible as that. Guess what? It's becoming more rampant. Sometimes, the requirement, the anointing requirement to actually execute our assignment is higher than the bar we have set.
If we actually want to get what it takes to execute this, 95% of us need to shut down and go and find it. We are not. We have seen the calling, but what of the thing that it takes? You are already disadvantaged in the natural as a lady. But God is telling you, I've given you a mouth. You need to preach this gospel. You want to go like that. You want to go by a dream. You want to go by what somebody prophesied over your life. Yeah, I know that somebody prophesied over. That's not what it takes. God sends his messengers by an anointing. Something that have the ability to take you and put. When you speak, it's not your voice. It is the anointing speaking. And they can see it. We share more. I have vowed that I will not be ordinary, Lotana. You need something. Do you know? Listen to me. Watch. You are a sister, a lady, and God sent you. Sent you to do things that even men has not done. Aside the fact that you are a sister, you are even a young lady. There is a sense in which youth is a disadvantage. In the sense of people believing you. People naturally believe people that are older and have experience. The first thing that brings a young man to the point where people, the believable day of your calling is the day you have anointing on your head. Because they can look at, they wonder, what? I don't understand. Huh? What should people believe about you months ago? How much do you have in your account? How many years experience do you have? How come Manuki need? Don't go to Ghana, tell them story. There is something that can happen to you. There is something that can happen to you in Ghana. The nation will come. They don't care your gender. That's not important. I see warrior sisters. Men have left the man to collect it. Collect it. Take it. They are not serious. Some of them are not serious. They don't know what it takes. Help that young lady. Listen to me. I told you people, I know what I'm saying. Sisters, listen to me. I know what I'm saying. God called me, said, look for those young ladies that have special callings. They are afraid of their calling. When they dream, when they see what God called them, they don't know who will give them the confidence. They don't know who will tell them that there is an anointing. They don't know who will point to them the labor field. Today, the alarm is on you. Oh, young lady with a calling, you can't hear my voice and be normal. I summon you. Oh, yeah, yeah. begin to clear shrines after now. Shrines, mad people. What people are running away from? There is an oil coming on you. It's coming. Aha. The oil is coming. You can be seated. Look at this scripture. Help that woman. Help that woman. Jesus, listen. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Sister, you can't go back to your December. You need to return with power. Watch. I have a burden. When anytime I read here, watch. Let me tell you my burden. Listen. Listen. You can be seated so that people at the back can see. The scripture said, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all region. My problem these days is that we have more fame than power. So we became famous and don't have the power. People gather, you don't have what to serve them. God forbid. Brothers, and I call you people. I call you. Let's lay hold on what some power in the Spirit. That is a promise. That is a prophecy. We cannot stop until we lay hold. Where you want to stop, no problem. But as for me and my house, we will press till ancient mantles drop. In Jesus' name, what? Just imagine people, they're now here. Sister Naka, Minister Naka, Pastor, they now gather in Ghana, Pastor Naka, and you come there, you are struggling to do Holy Ghost baptism. Somebody is demonized and you are struggling to cast it out or whatever. They come there, you are struggling to teach. Teaching is an anointing. That is a teaching anointing. I will show you. See, brothers and sisters, you don't enter the teaching office and teaching ministry because of Bible study. You can teach normally as a believer, but to operate from the office of the teacher, you need an anointing. There is a capacity to dissect the scripture and your trance to convey the mind of God. There is an ability to stay within context and carry out by letter, line upon line, precept upon precept. That ability is not man-made, it's an anointing from heaven. Listen, the right way is that God announces a man by power. That's how by power. Even if it's to your family, everybody must not be on the pulpit. Anytime there is any need for power, they know who to meet. When you live here, go and raise the dead. Go and raise the dead. There are issues you left behind. Go and sort all of them out. Don't waste this thing. The more you use it, the more it increase. The anointing doesn't decrease. It gets stronger. It gets thicker with use. Those Yahoo boys in Benin, gather all of them. Gather those Yahoo boys. There is a road to gather all of them like a sickle. When you place the sickle, you gather them. Help the young man. That sister is. He's taking something. Gather it. That's how to do it. Don't go here anyhow. Gather it. Mr. Holy Ghost, there is a new anointing that you need. Jesus. Mighty name. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. The second thing I needed to know about the anointing is that the anointing to execute assignments are in measures and intensities. You can be seated so that the people at the back can see. James, lift up your hands. Where is he finding? Not you. The Lord anoints you afresh, my friend. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Going back there is something strong. It's a new intensity of God coming on your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Father, release it upon him in the name of Jesus. Help the young man. Be anointed. Jesus.
Watch, look at this scripture. You can be seated. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. When they prayed, the place shook. The place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Next verse. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. Next verse. Let's read verse 33 together. 1, 2, ready, go. No, it's not all of us that read this. This is not a scripture. I'm trying to bring you into something. Read it as if you are entering into something. 1, 2, ready, go. Witness. Let's read it one more time. When the Holy Ghost came in the book of Acts chapter 2, power came. They were able to do some things. Chapter 2, chapter 3. By the time we came to chapter 4, they locked them up. Threatened them. When they released them, they began to pray. I thought they would pray that God, let there be no problem. Let nobody speak anything bad about me. Let nobody trouble me. No. What they cried for is more power. And the same way the Holy Ghost filled them in book of Acts chapter 2 is what happened. Just that this time around, instead of power, what did they have? Great power. Say after me, another measure. Say after me, another measure. Say after me, another intensity. This is for somebody that will come and say, hey, but I'm already in this. There is a higher intensity to that. There is another measure that you need. There is a measure that can intensify your result by 10. There is a measure that can multiply your impact by 100. You strike once the way you used to strike. What will be heard is the voice of 1,000. There is a way God multiplies it. The scripture said an angel came and spoke to Daniel, and he heard the voice of a multitude. Listen to me. Listen. Somebody came one time and said that I'm an international, you know, when people are calling me, they say I'm an international minister that travel all around the world. Pastor, I have not traveled for more than 5 places. What's happening? One strike is like 1,000 strikes. You are not getting what I'm saying. When you now preach one message, it does 10 times more than it's doing before. It's intensity. Another measure, oh. Holy Ghost, another 1,000.
Another measure, oh. Holy Ghost, another 1,000. Another measure, oh. Holy Ghost, another 1,000. Another measure, oh. Holy Ghost, another 1,000. Another measure, oh. Holy Ghost, another 1,000. Another measure, oh. Holy Ghost, another 1,000.
another measure, oh, oh. Holy Ghost, another 1,000. Another measure, oh, oh. Holy Ghost, another 1,000. Another measure, oh, oh. Holy Ghost, another 1,000. Another measure, oh, oh. Holy Ghost, another 1,000. Another measure,
he's coming.
Holy Ghost, another 1,000.
Another measure,
Holy Ghost, another 1,000.
Another power, oh, another power. Another measure.
With great power,
another power.
Holy Ghost, another 1,000.
Another measure, another measure, another measure. Holy Ghost,
another 1,000.
Another power, another power.
Holy Ghost, another 1,000.
Yes, another fire. Another fire, yeah.
Holy Ghost, another 1,000.
Another measure, another measure, another measure.
Adura, tell me.
Another power, another power, oh.
Holy Ghost, another 1,000.
Yes, another measure, another measure.
Another measure, 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 another meas
Acts chapter 2, verse 22. You can be seated. Point, I think, or the fourth, the anointing is the clearest way that God puts his approval and validation upon a man. The clearest. Look at it. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. How? By miracles and wonders and signs. How did God place approval on his own son? He said, by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Do you know that when Jesus appeared, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the Jews kept asking him, if you are the one, show us a sign. The scripture clearly said it in the book of 1 Corinthians. I think 1 Corinthians chapter 1, justice. He said that the Greeks seek for wisdom and the Jews seek for what?
Power.
Signs. The signs is the sign. Show us. If you are the one, where is the anointing? If you are the one, where is the miracle? If you are the one, where is the signs and wonders? Where is the proof? The clearest way God proves it. That's how. From the days of Moses. He said, okay, what you do? Bring the rod. Put it inside. Let's know the one that will board. By the time they are coming back tomorrow, the rod of Aaron has boarded with almond. Leaves have come out of it. When they doubted the calling and mandate that was upon Moses, you know what he said? He said, Lord, if it is a normal death that these people die, it will not look as if you called me. That's how God does it. That's how he shows his approval. The one with the oil. You need the oil. The mistake Moses made was to tell even his brothers, tell them that he's anointed without oil. Like he's the one. You know the story. He came and met his brother and said, don't you know that I'm the one that is sent to save you people? Without oil, they will kill you. When the man came back with oil, he didn't need to tell them anything. They believed. He said after me, Lord, I'm not going back without a commensurate measure of the oil of the Spirit, specific to my assignment. Of the oil of the Spirit, specific to my assignment. Of the oil of the Spirit, specific to my assignment. Of course, there is an oil specific to your assignment. Let me add one more scripture. John chapter 14, verse 10. Believest thou? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. So herein, words are no more enough. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. 11. Believe me that I am in the Father. Believe me. And the Father in me, he said, else. Because it seems as if I can't convince you with my words only. I need something.
Hey!
Stand up. Lift up your hands. The Lord anoint you. Every other row, sit down. Sit down. Why are those people standing up? Sit down. Lift up your hands higher. Lift up your hands higher. The anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon your life now. At the count of three. One, two, three. Touch! All of you here, just join your hands. Lift up your hands. Stand up. Lift up your hands. Just the people on this. Just the people here. The rest, you can sit down. The Lord anoints you. Fresh anointing at the count of three. One. Two, three, touch! All the people on this roof, help this young man. All the people on this roof, from you, stand up. Sit down here, just from you. Stand up. Lift up your hands. The fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit is coming upon your life. You can feel it already. You can feel it. It's very strong. For some of you, it's going to break yoke before it will empower you. At the count of three. One, two, three. Touch! Fire of the Holy Ghost. All of you from here to here, just lift up your hands to the back. It's on you now. Touch! There's anointing of the Holy Spirit. All of you on this road to the back. My God, wait. The Holy Ghost, fire. All of you on this row to the back, stand up, lift up your hands. Just this row, nobody should join. No usher should enter there. Lift up your hands. The fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit comes on your life. At the count of three. It's on you already. You can feel it. You can feel it. It's on you already. At the count of three. One, two, three. Touch! To the back. To the back, Holy Ghost. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire. Fire. The people on that row behind the pastor, stand up. Lift up your hands. At the count of three. Four of you, go and stand. Four of you, stand on the stage here. At the count of three, the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon your life. You can feel it already. It's on you. You can feel it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. One, two, three. Touch! Touch! Touch!
fire of the Holy Ghost.
Lift up your hands wherever you are, any position you are. Pray in tongues for the next 2 minutes. Something is on you. Don't change your position. Young children, do you want the fire of the Holy Spirit? At the count of three, shout fire. Can you shout fire? Can you people shout fire? At the count of three, shout fire. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. One, two, three. Holy Ghost. Soak it in. Something is happening to you. Jesus! Put your hands. Stronger. Stronger. From today, let your life change. Things beyond your imagination will begin to happen. By the strong hand of God resting upon your life, let it rest. You will see it. After today, you will see it.
God's word came to you in accuracy and power. To connect to the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edu Udechukwu, send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040 or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhopinternational.com. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edu Udechukwu. God bless you.